Good morning and welcome to Simply CRE. It's Sunday, April 14th. On today's show, downtown St. Louis hits commercial rock bottom, while commercial real estate transactions from across the Oklahoma City metro area are making waves. Plus, Ares Commercial Real Estate Co. shares are bought by Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply CRE. We start off with some troubling news out of St. Louis. Downtown St. Louis is hitting commercial rock bottom, with many businesses closed and the largest office building recently selling for a mere $3.5 million. The Central Business District has seen the biggest drop in foot traffic of any major U.S. city since the pandemic began. Here to discuss this troubling trend is our correspondent. So tell us, what factors are contributing to the decline of downtown St. Louis?
Well, David, it's a self-reinforcing cycle known as the urban doom loop. When offices sit empty, the stores and restaurants that rely on those employees disappear. Companies don't feel comfortable bringing workers to areas lacking amenities, so they lease elsewhere or not at all. This perpetuates the cycle of vacancy and decline. St. Louis's struggles actually predate the pandemic, with population loss and ineffective urban planning plaguing the area for years.
I understand a key turning point was when a major department store closed back in 2013. Can you explain how that set off a chain reaction?
That's right. The closure of the downtown Macy's store in 2013 started a downward spiral. It led to other retailers leaving the area. Then in 2017, AT&T moved out of its namesake 44-story tower, which just sold for a shockingly low $3.5 million. For a building that size, that's less than $2.40 per square foot. Just 7 years ago, that same property traded for $205 million. It's now the second largest vacant office building in the entire country, which really underscores the severity of the problem.
Those are staggering figures. Are there any efforts underway to try to revitalize the downtown area and break this doom loop cycle?
Local business and civic groups are making attempts to lure activity back to the urban core. They're paying buskers to perform on street corners to create more vibrancy. The city is working to improve landscaping and bike lanes to make the area more appealing. There are also financial incentives being offered, with organizations paying up to $50,000 for retailers that move downtown, as well as providing funds for sidewalk cafes and pop-up shops to activate vacant spaces. But it remains to be seen if these efforts can reverse the self-reinforcing negative trends that have taken hold.
It will certainly be an uphill battle to break that cycle and breathe new life into downtown St. Louis. Thank you for that update and analysis. Shifting our focus now to another city in the heartland, let's take a look at some notable commercial real estate transactions from across the Oklahoma City metro area. Joining me with the details is our correspondent. So what are some of the major deals that have taken place recently?
There have been quite a few significant transactions, David. One of the largest was Ariamare Property LLC's $7.5 million purchase of the 124,549-square-foot Springdale Shops from Rosewood Ventures LLC and Maya, Inc. This deal for the retail center located at 4334 NW50 was handled by Philip Mazahari.
That's a sizable retail acquisition. Were there any other notable sales?
Yes, Don A. Karchmer paid the John Chiaf Revocable Trust $425,000 for a 1.91-acre pad site at 4801 and Lincoln Beloved. Everest Ernst facilitated that transaction.
In addition to these sales, it looks like there was also significant leasing activity across various property types. What can you tell us about the industrial sector?
The industrial market saw several leases signed. Smart Shelters took 16,000 square feet at 1333 SE25, while also leasing another 11,000 square feet at 11500 S Meridian Ave in a separate deal. TJ Inspection renewed for 13,500 square feet at 6600 S Sooner Road. The team of Mark Patton, Trey Dupuy, and Ian Self handled these transactions.
How about the office sector? Any leases of note there?
Interworks leased 8,309 square feet at Quail Springs Parkway Plaza in a deal handled by Craig Tucker. Titan Title and Closing took 4,018 square feet at 4801 Gallardia Parkway, with Ian Self and Trey Dupuy representing them. Cummings Oil Co. also renewed their 3,051 square foot lease at Grand Center on N. Grand Boulevard.
Sounds like an active quarter for office leasing. Were there any other property types with significant deals?
The retail and medical office sectors also saw leasing activity. Urology Specialists of Central Oklahoma took 8,803 square feet of medical office space at 5401 N. Portland Ave. Oklahoma Heart Hospital leased 3,178 square feet of retail at 400 NE 10. On the smaller side, MXM Salon leased 2,250 square feet at Spring Creek Village in Edmond, while Stretch Zone took 1,114 square feet at Alta Mesa, also in Edmond.
Thanks for that thorough roundup of the major commercial real estate deals across the Oklahoma City area over the past quarter. Certainly, a lot of activity to monitor across all the different property types. On a different note, Figma, the popular design and collaboration platform, is adding new generative AI features to its FigJam whiteboard tool, even as it awaits regulatory approval for its $20 billion acquisition by Adobe. Here with more details is our Simply Tech correspondent. So what exactly is Figma adding to FigJam to enhance collaboration?
Figma is introducing three key generative AI capabilities to FigJam. First, they're making it easier to get started by allowing users to create new FigJam boards from simple text prompts. So if you describe the elements you need, like a calendar or project timeline, FigJam will automatically generate a template to get you going. They're also adding the ability to automatically sort and organize the sticky notes that teams use to capture ideas and tasks. As boards get larger, Figma will be able to thematically group related stickies together. Finally, they're introducing auto-summarization, so you can quickly get the key points from a complex board full of stickies without having to read through each one.
Interesting. So it sounds like Figma is really leaning into AI to make FigJam easier and more intuitive for its broad base of users beyond just designers. What can you tell us about FigJam's user base?
That's right. Figma's chief product officer told TechCrunch that surprisingly, two-thirds of FigJam's weekly active users are actually not designers. The whiteboard tool has gained popularity across many functions, like marketing, engineering, and product for general visual collaboration. One analyst I spoke with noted that Figma has intentionally taken a cross-functional approach with FigJam from the start.
With such a diverse user base, I could see how starting with a blank slate could be intimidating for many. Do we have any early indication of how well this generative AI implementation will work for them?
Figma says they've tweaked the OpenAI language models to understand Figma and FigJam specific concepts and terminology. They're also testing warning systems to prevent misuse or harmful content generation. But you raise a good point. With recent survey data showing over 70% of employees struggle with collaboration, there's certainly an opportunity here. Making it easier to spin up and extract insights from these virtual whiteboards could be really impactful if it works as promised.
We'll be tracking to see how these new AI features are received as they roll out in open beta starting today. Thanks for walking us through this news. Shifting gears now to the commercial real estate market, which is facing a potential crisis as a wave of office building loans come due in the coming years. Lenders are already taking over some big office complexes in Connecticut, and many more property owners may be forced to make tough decisions soon. For more on this, we're joined by our correspondent. So what's the latest on these office takeovers in Connecticut?
Well, David, we're seeing a few high-profile cases unfold right now. The Great River Corporate Center in Milford is set to be auctioned off to the highest bidder next week, after lenders took control of the mostly vacant building through a court proceeding. And in a surprising move, the prominent New York landlord Empire State Realty Trust is giving up on its first Stamford Place complex, returning it to lenders rather than pay down a $173 million loan, despite the property being over 80% leased. Meanwhile, there's an ongoing bankruptcy case involving the Constitution Plaza in downtown Hartford, where a lien holder is trying to seize the property while the owner struggles to keep up with repairs.
Those are some troubling examples, but how widespread is this problem, in the bigger picture.
The potential scale is quite concerning. According to a recent report by the Mortgage Bankers Association, one out of every four loans secured by office buildings is set to mature just this year alone. And a separate analysis estimates that a staggering 44% of all office building loans could now be underwater, meaning the loan balances exceed the actual property values. The shift to remote work during the pandemic has really upended the office market, and landlords are struggling to lure tenants back. Fitch Ratings is predicting the office market recovery will be even slower this time compared to the period after the Great Recession.
So for these property owners facing maturing loans in this environment, what are their options?
It's a tough position to be in. For those who can afford it, some may choose to absorb the continuing losses and wait things out. Others may look to unload their buildings, even at fire sale prices, to get out from under the debt. And of course, some will simply walk away and hand over the keys to their lenders, either by choice or by default when they can't make the payments. There's a lot of distress in the market, and many owners will be forced into difficult decisions as more of these loans come due in the next few years.
It's certainly a precarious situation for the office real estate sector. We'll continue to monitor this developing story in the weeks and months ahead. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply CRE. We'll see you back here tomorrow.